on, let's open Genesis chapter 14. Amen. Amen. And as many of you that come here, listen carefully. I was saying on Friday, on Tuesday, during our Tuesday program here, that a prophet was sent to meet me all the way from the east. And also, that same Tuesday, after service, I saw another a pastor from Ibadan that was also sent by God to come and meet me. And I told the prophet, I said, he had problem with his gift. He had problem with his gift. And he had a genuine gift. He's born with that gift. Powerful gift. As I looked at him, a very powerful gift he had. Serious gift that, you know, could announce him everywhere. But something happened and the gift was mumbled up. Well, he came to me. Why I make reference to it is, I told him, I said, you are a prophet. I am not a prophet. So why would God tell a prophet to come and meet me when I'm not a prophet? I said, there's only one reason. Amen. Hallelujah. It's because I have something you need to go along with your gift. I have the word. I have the word. Hallelujah. And if you operate a gift without the word, the devil will mess it up. He will mess it up. And that's the problem. And I've told everybody that come to this church, I say, what we boast of in Bride Assembly is not the gift. It's not the gift, because there is no gift we operate here that is not better in several places. Even the prophetic gift that we have here, it is everywhere. Nyafu, nyafu. Do you know that the commonest ministry now is prophetic ministry? And the reason is because it has been, you know, there is a proliferation, because plus the genuine, and now that everybody is going to church, Babalawos have closed shop and then rearranged themselves and changed their signboard to prophetic ministry. So Babalawos are everywhere. Prophet this, prophet that, prophet this, prophet that. Everywhere, if you watch television, 90% of all those preachers you see, they are all prophets. They see vision for you. They see the day you were born and the day you will die. They see everything concerning you. Amen. It's the commonest thing now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so when I went to a television station some few years back to get airtime there, and the owner of the station was telling me, this is how you should package it so that, you know, your airtime can be useful. You know, be telling them testimonies of what is going on. You know, be telling them testimonies, because people like to hear testimonies. He was saying, I say, oh God, wait. I say, I have come to your station to spice your station. Amen. I say, everybody that comes, they tell the whole world how God is using them. The dead are raising, blind are seeing, everything. And they teach everybody how to make money and prosper. I say, I will come here and tell the world what they need to hear that they don't hear anywhere. Praise the Lord. The word. Amen. It's the word. That is what the entire message has come to do. The difference between those of us who are followers of the ministry of William Branham and those who have turned down that ministry and walking in the way they are going, the difference is that we have revelation. Oh yes, we have revelation. Praise the Lord. We have the word. So when you come here, we try by all means, you know, to say a few things, because many of you are not church members. You just come here for prayers and you go back. Of course, everybody cannot be a member of Bread Assembly. But everybody must know what we know in this church. If you don't know, you will never go in the rapture. Irrespective of the church you go, and that is the truth. Praise God. Church, listen. Amen. Amen. The bride of Jesus Christ is coming back to the Bible. Amen. And there are little things that are overlooked that when we have the time, we'll be bringing them out like that to make this process of salvation clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. Hallelujah. The story in Genesis chapter 14 is that the enemy had come in a battle and taken the cousin of Abraham, Lot, away. And Abraham heard of it and gathered his men and they went to rescue Lot and some other people. And on their way, coming back, hallelujah, praise the Lord. On their way, coming back, verse 17, that is where we are continuing. From verse 17, Genesis 14. Can I go on? And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dell. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies to thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And today we are looking at the topic I titled, Who is Melchizedek? Let's know who is Melchizedek. Amen. Let's look at who is Melchizedek. It's a very short message. Blessed be the name of the Lord. First and foremost, that scripture tells us he was the king of Salem. Salem means peace. And I want you to know that there is no city called Salem. Amen. We only have Jerusalem. Jerusalem means city of peace. But the city of peace, ironically, is the city of trouble up to now. You see how God works it. Your name is blessing. But blessings may not be coming your way. Your name is patient. Patience. But you are never patient for anything. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Number one, he was the king of Salem. That is the king of peace. Secondly, he was the priest of the Most High God. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he gave Abraham bread and wine and blessed Abraham. And Abraham gave him tithes of all. Abraham was a prophet. I hope we know that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay? And that is all that we hear about Melchizedek in the Old Testament until we come to Hebrews chapter 7. Apostle Paul by revelation. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. Try to let us know further about Melchizedek. Hebrew. If you are there, chapter 7, and I read from verse 1. He said, before I read chapter 7, let's go to chapter 6 and connect it to chapter 7. Verse 16 of chapter 6. So we catch a picture from there. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, see where I'm going, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You know why? I want you to know who is Melchizedek. If you know who is Melchizedek, you will understand who is Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ asked his disciples, who do men say I am? Because knowing him is important. Knowing Jesus is important. So many people only know the name of Jesus, but they don't know who is Jesus. They know that the mention of that name, every knee bows, demons are cast out. So to them, that name Jesus is their talisman. When any trouble comes, I shout Jesus. That is the talisman. That is my juju. So you hold that name, but who is Jesus? Some say you are this. Some say you are the second person in the Trinity. Some say you are the son of Mary. Some say we cannot get to the Father except Mary prayed to the Son. Some say, then he said, but what of you? I'm quoting Matthew 16. What of you that have been following me, the disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. We know that scripture. And how Jesus Christ replied him and told him, he's correct. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Church, listen. Flesh and blood cannot reveal who Jesus Christ is. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Why? Luke chapter 10. Open it. Luke chapter 10 and read verse 22.
Luke chapter 10 verse 22.
Just before you read, I remember the first time you came here, you asked me some questions.
I did, sir.
How long ago?
It's over 6 months now.
Over 6 months?
Yes, sir.
You know, he studies the Bible. He's a Bible student. Go ahead, verse 22. That scripture explains why Jesus said flesh and blood. That is no human being, no Bible school. No human being can reveal that I am Christ, the Son of the living God. That scripture explains why he says so. Yes, verse 22.
All things are delivered to me of my Father.
Uh-huh.
And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father.
Nobody knows who Jesus Christ is but the Father. That's why he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Okay, finish the scripture.
And who the Father is but the Son.
Uh-huh. Nobody knows who the Father of Jesus Christ is. Only Jesus knows who his Father is. Uh-huh.
And he to whom the Son will reveal him.
The only person that will know who the Father of Jesus Christ is, you can only know if Jesus himself come and tell you who his Father is. God bless you, sir. Be seated. Praise God. When you study the Bible like that, then you begin to know that salvation is deeper than some of us say it. Everybody is now saying Jesus is the Son of God. It's because you heard the pastor say so. It's because you read in the Bible, it shall be called the Son of God. Therefore, Jesus is the Son of God. You are just repeating what is written or what is spoken somewhere. But to know who Jesus Christ is, the Father himself, we have to let you know that. Amen. And to know who the Father of Jesus Christ is, you can never know unless Jesus Christ reveal his Father to you. This is thus saith the word of God. Jesus himself was saying it. Amen. But the same soul, you know, and then it was after he made that statement, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Then he concluded, he said, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah. Which rock? Is the rock, hallelujah, for those hearing us for the first time, the Jesus, Peter is not the rock. Amen. The rock, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is a rock upon which God builds the church. Your Christian faith begins with your knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. You miss that revelation, any other thing you build, you are building on sinking sand. Also, why it's so important? Your Christian faith is determined by the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That revelation, for you, for God to let you know who that man is. If God will ever let you know who Jesus Christ is, that revelation, and you get yourself anchored in that revelation, then you can say, like Apostle Paul said, what can separate me from the love of God? And he mentioned it. Persecution, perils, death, whether life, hunger, what is it? Nakedness, whether he's poor, he's rich. He looked, he searched, which condition on earth can separate me from this love of God that God demonstrated through Jesus Christ? Now that is a revelation. Amen. That is a Christian that has caught a revelation. You know, and I'm in this evening gospel time. I have no patience with people who claim they are Christians, and then they with the slightest wind that blows around them, they begin to stand and question God. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At the slightest wind that blow, somebody will say, it's like I'm serving this God in vain. Hey, I'll go back to the world room. And Pastor Moses, this God, does he really exist? Before I finish reading that text, I don't delete them. And maybe you think that is a language to attract my compassion. Then I'll begin to handle your voice. I mean your case. It is even evidence you have no faith, so I can't help you. I like people who have faith, who say, yes, I know, from January until now, no job, but I still believe before this year ends, God will do it. Hey, I know without faith, if I decree together with you, something will happen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And to start with, whether there is job or not, whether you marry or not, somebody, you must come to an estate, but that estate comes only by a revelation. Upon this rock, I will build my church. and the gates of hell. Lie shall not prevail. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so that's all we try to let you know concerning who Melchizedek is. Chapter 7. Amen. It's talking about Jesus Christ in verse 20 of chapter 6, the last verse in chapter 6. Whither the forerunner. Forerunner is one who goes ahead of us. And who is he that has gone ahead of us? For I go to prepare a place for you. Who is the person? That's the forerunner. Amen. It's for us entered. He has already entered into glory. Even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, chapter 7, verse 1. This is who Melchizedek is. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation, king of righteousness. Melchizedek means king of righteousness. And after that also, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Verse 3. Without father, without mother. Nobody say he was an orphan. Without descent, having neither beginning of days, nor end of life. Who did Abraham meet? Oh, Abraham met a man. That man, hallelujah, hallelujah. That man that Abraham met has no father. No man gave birth to him. He has no mother. Without descent, that is no lineage. No lineage. You can't say this person begat this, then begat Melchizedek. Hallelujah. He has no beginning of days, that is, he has no birth date. He has no birth date. All of us have birth dates. But this man had no birth date. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. No end of life. That is, this man, you know, they die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That is a man that Abraham met. And Apostle Paul concluded it like this. Somebody who had no beginning of days, no father, no mother, no end of life, no descent, no beginning of days, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it is only God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, amen, that is Elohim. Elohim means the self-existing one. No father, no mother. No lineage. No family tree. He has no beginning of days. He has no end of days because he is eternal. Abraham met a man that is eternal. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Who did he meet? Abraham met the creator of the heavens and the earth. Who is Melchizedek? Melchizedek is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the great Jehovah Elohim. That is who he met. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, Who is Melchizedek again? Melchizedek was God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. So there he had bread and he had wine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He sat down with Abraham and they ate bread and they drank wine. And yet that was the creator of the heavens and the earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God in theophany. Amen. God in human form. God came as a man and met Abraham. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want you to catch something here. Amen. Listen. He said Jesus Christ was made. Okay, before Jesus Christ, he said he was made like the Son of God. When you said like the Son of God, we have two places where we see God, where this Son of God is mentioned in the Bible. One is Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar threw three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, in the furnace of fire. And he came to inspect to see how they got burnt. Instead, he peeped in the hole there, and what did he see? He saw four men. Can we read it? Daniel chapter 3. Amen. Verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like who? The Son of God. Amen. Somebody needs to catch that revelation and know that you're not an ordinary person. I'm not an ordinary person. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But this priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. If it is after the order of Melchizedek, the striking thing about Melchizedek is that he had no father, he had no mother, he had no descent, he had no beginning of life, he had no ending of life. Hallelujah. And his priesthood was continually, it does not end. That of Aaron, after some time, something will happen, the man will die. Another person will have to be appointed again to take over. But this of Melchizedek is continual because he doesn't die. Therefore, the covenant that we are under is a better covenant. It's a better covenant. You know, amen. In Numbers 35, Moses, the Lord told Moses to tell the people about the city of refuge. Keep six cities and they will be named cities of refuge. If any Jew, by adventure, by mistake, otherwise, kills somebody, remember it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you do me, I do you, you kill me, I kill you, kill my mama, I kill your mama. You kill, you must be killed. So, the avenger of death, if you kill my relation, if I kill your relation, you will avenge. The Lord permit you to kill me also. And they will shake hands with you for killing me. God no go vex. Now he give the law. But he knew that some people will fall, you know, by mistake. You can kill somebody. So, what you have to do is, the matter is supposed to sit down to declare your innocence. But before you declare your innocence, that man is not going to wait to ask, you kill my mama, you must die. So he kept this city of refuge in Numbers 35, if you take time to read it. If you can run while they are pursuing you, and you enter into that city, bam, just enter the gate, child. You may run, even if you hold your shirt, you don't reach here. Bye-bye. It can't hurt you anymore. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And the Lord says, you are to remain in that city of refuge. You are to remain there until the present high priest of that time is dead. Before you can come out. That means you still face a risk if you come out. Praise the Lord. If he dies, finish. It means that man, avenger of blood, he hears say he die, he can run into that city and grab you. Say the man don't die. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, but see it now. Our own high priest under the new covenant does not die. So, once you are in the city of refuge is the blood of Jesus Christ. Once you come under the blood, hallelujah, you are saved forever, 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 forever. Whatever you did before as an unbeliever, it can never take a hold of you anymore. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why I thank God I am part of the New Testament. And so, that is it. Our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, is after the order of Melchizedek. It's an office that does not end. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But now watch it. If it is after the order of Melchizedek, Melchizedek was God. It simply means Jesus Christ has no end of this, has no beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has no father, has no mother. Do you catch what I'm saying? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He has no ending of days. That lets you know, if Melchizedek was God, Jesus Christ too was God. On earth, in human form. Melchizedek was God in the human form. Jesus Christ came as God in the human form in the order of Melchizedek. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The same God that appeared to Abraham and gave him bread and wine. He was speaking of something. Amen. And in Matthew 26, the last supper, this same Jesus again took bread. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And blessed it and gave it to them. The same bread and wine that Melchizedek held and gave Abraham. Abraham, the child of promise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He took it again and broke it and gave them. He was doing something for revelated people to know who he is. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am not talking about the difference between law and grace. And that teaching itself is a very interesting one. Very, very interesting. But that message is for the Jews. The difference between law and grace, because we don't know anything about the law. Do you know anything about law? Was the law given to you? Anything I speak about the law is just to make you appreciate grace. Amen. My knowledge of grace of the law is just to make me appreciate grace. If not for grace, we won't even come in. Amen. It expresses God's, defines God's mercy, defines God's loving kindnesses, defines how this our God is. Grace. Hallelujah. Somebody gave the acronym GRACE. It said God's riches at Christ's expense. I am who I am by the grace of God. Christ himself made a way for me. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay, and I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I can sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That songwriter said, I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation. Hallelujah. And purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Hallelujah. When you see people who have caught a revelation of salvation, they say, gone from my heart, the world and all is down.
Good of Lord,
I'm saved from all the lands. Now at the cross, my heart is bending low. Now precious blood of Jesus cleanses my. Open John chapter 8. Are we there? Jesus Christ was confusing the Jews. Verse 56. This is the way he put it. Hallelujah. He was telling them, John 8:56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. When did he see him? See what they said, verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham. Jesus said unto them, very verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. He senior Abraham. He didn't say before Abraham was, I was. He said, I am. Because God has no history. Hallelujah. Moses asked him, if they say who sent me, who will I say sent me? What did he say he is? I am that I am. He didn't say I am that I was. Hallelujah. God, amen. Hallelujah. God does not write history. He writes his own in advance. Before the foundation of the world, he knew that I would be a Christian. He sees his own far ahead. He knew that I would be a Christian, and he wrote my name somewhere. Hallelujah. Are you in that number? Are you in that
number?
Ask your neighbor. Ask your neighbor. Are you in that number? Saved by grace. Are you in that number? Tell your neighbor. Ask your neighbor.
Are you in that number?
Are you in that number? Answer him.
I am in the number.
I am in the number.
Save my grace.
Save. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he did not save me today. He did not save me the day I gave my life to Christ. Amen. He saved me from the foundation of the... Before the world began, he has saved me. Oh, I don't know how many people will understand this God. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ came in the order of Melchizedek. And if Melchizedek, hallelujah, was the creator of the heavens and the earth in human form, then you will understand the prophecy of Isaiah. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. Hallelujah. And his name shall be called who? Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14 says so. Eh? Hallelujah. And chapter 9 verse 6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government, authority, power shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called who? Counselor. Mighty God. The everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. All this is tied to. If his name shall be called Emmanuel, Matthew, let us understand. Meaning what? God with us. Hallelujah. God with us. As he came with Abraham, God came again with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then you understand Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 concerning Jesus Christ. It said Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Hallelujah. He is the image of the invisible God. Because John chapter 1 verse 18, he said, no man has seen God at any time. In fact, God himself told Moses, he said, no man can see me and live. Amen. If no man can see me and live, but we are seeing Melchizedek, and we are saying that was God. Now that lets us know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God wanted to relate to a man, and he just got himself a body. Hallelujah. Came in a theophany, a heavenly celestial body birth on earth. The body that can appear and reappear. Disappear. Hallelujah. And appear. He came as a man so that he can relate with a man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But does that mean that he was nowhere else apart from that time there? No. The same God said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. Do you believe he's here now? Any other church having vigil there, he's there now. Hallelujah. A man and a wife praying in their house now in the name of Jesus, he's there now. Hallelujah. Because he's here, does it mean he's nowhere else? No. Because he came in that body, does that mean that he's nowhere else? No. He decided to just come and relate in that form. Amen. To man. He remained God. Therefore, it was not God physically seen, but God was in that person. The Spirit of God, because God is a spirit, not a human being. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God was inside that body that he built to come and meet Abraham. Speaking of another body that he will build for the redemption of mankind. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He was speaking of another body that he will build. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says in that same chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, he said, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And chapter 2, verse 9 says, for the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him, Jesus, bodily. Hallelujah. the fullness of God dwelt in him bodily. That's why in John chapter 14, and then he was telling Philip, he said, I go to the Father. You know, he will be speaking to confuse those who must be confused. Amen. Hallelujah. People must be confused because not everyone that belongs to him. And they say, show us the Father. Every time he's saying, Father, the Father, the Father. Show us the Father, we shall be satisfied. And what did he tell Philip? Philip, have I been so long with you and you don't know me? Have I not told you, if you see me, you see the Father? Why are you telling me to show you the Father again? Once you see me, you have seen the Father. Why? The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in me. That is why Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he said, and without controversy. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. He said, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. Go to Revelation chapter 1 again. See what he's saying there. He's introducing himself. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is Jesus Christ introducing himself in verse 8. Let's start from verse 8. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Say the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Who are we expecting to come? And what did he call him? The Almighty. The Almighty. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Go to verse 18. Verse 17. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Hold it there. Go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 verse 4. He says, who has wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. This is Jehovah God in the Old Testament introducing himself as the first and the last. And this is what Jesus Christ is saying. And remember, God says his glory he does not share with any man. Have that at the back of your mind as you read verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Hallelujah. What he's saying there is, he has the final say concerning us. No witch, no curse, no wizard, no covenant, no demon can say, he has the last say over my life. The keys of hell and death, they are in his hand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want somebody to begin to look at Jesus Christ more seriously than you do, so that you understand why he asked his disciples, who do men say I am? Blessed be the name of the Lord.
On beyond the moon and stars he went with the Old Testament saints. Oh, what a victorious march that must have been, with a real conqueror. After a while they come in sight of that glorious city. Abraham says to Sarah, come here, honey. And she gets Isaac and comes along. Isaac gets Jacob. Jacob gets Joseph. And he says, that that city that Daddy saw, whose builder and maker is God. I walked about on the earth looking for a city to come whose builder and maker was God, and now I'm coming near the gate. Although the great man that they were, they could not conquer it. It taken one to come down to do the conquering. Though Abraham conquered difficulties, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, but there was only one who could conquer sin. That was Him, the Lord Jesus. And as they seen the light from the inside the city, and the great pearly gates a-shining, Jesus in the forefront, marching on, and the angels begin to ascend to the top of the buildings, and they look coming, and the Old Testament saints cried out, "Open up ye everlasting gates, and be ye open, and let the King of glory come in, the mighty conqueror." And the angel screamed back and said, "Who is this King of glory?" And the Old Testament saints cried out, "The Lord of hosts, mighty in battle." And the gate come open, and He placed at the gate the old rugged cross. And every man or woman ever comes into that gate for him to bow before that cross and recognize Him as the mighty one.
arose.
He arose. He arose. He arose. He is risen. He is risen. Christ is risen. He's alive. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Because not too many people understand this simple mystery. It's simple but deep. This fact that this man, Jesus, hallelujah, of the New Testament is the same Jehovah God of the Old Testament that decided to come. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrew again. One other scripture there. Hallelujah. Oh, God will help somebody here. Anytime you call that name Jesus, you will know that you are calling the name of the God of Israel, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Chapter 10, Hebrew chapter 10. Hallelujah. This is God saying it now. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, that is where I am going. When he cometh into the world, this is God now coming into the world. He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Amen. Amen. The creator of the heavens and the earth made a body for himself, so that he can come and dwell among men. Why? Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children, we his children, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, who is this he himself? God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the great eternal spirit himself, likewise took part of the same flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of who? Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. You see why anytime you commit, temptation, you fall into any temptation, you fall onto sin. And you begin to cry and ask God to forgive you. Do you know why he forgives you? Because he himself, the great eternal spirit, took upon human flesh and faced the temptations that human beings are facing. So he understands what his children are going through. So when you say forgive me, he understands. Therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That scripture is important that we know, so that you don't condemn yourself. Hallelujah. We serve a God that has come down. Hallelujah. In the form of a human being. He went through all. He grew up like he put himself in a body that was growing. Hallelujah. The Bible said Jesus Christ grew in stature and in wisdom. But unknown to them, it was not an ordinary child. It was a body that God incubated. God, hallelujah, incarnated rather. The creator of the heavens and the earth incarnated that body. The spirit was not growing, but the body was growing so that he can feel what every one of his children are feeling. What we are feeling. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when trouble comes to call upon him, he answers speedily because he knows the pains we go through. He has undergone that pain. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is why he made that body and gave that body his name. Because that became his address. That is where he dwelt for the purpose of our redemption. Therefore, the name of the Son is the name of the Father. Amen. Because the Father and the Son are one. He's not three persons in one God, nothing. Oh, and the great eternal Father, he is a spirit. The Father of Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Matthew 1:18 says so. That child in the womb of Mary says a child of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, the Holy Ghost is the Father of the child in the womb of Mary. So, whether you call him Holy Ghost or Father, you are referring to the same spirit, the same person. Nothing like three persons in one God. It's lack of understanding. The great eternal spirit incubated his Son. A body that he called his Son. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he came from him. Hallelujah. That is the mystery of who Jesus Christ is. And I say, knowing him is life. And when I say, knowing him, you see, he said, except you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you say, you have no life. Why did he say so? To eat the flesh there is to understand. Eating there is understanding. It's spiritual food to eat. Is to understand. Except you understand his body and his blood, you will never have life. That's what he's saying. Except you eat my flesh, it's not to go and take that bread and eat it. It's sit down before you eat it, understand what you are doing. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why he said, you go into the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16 and verse 16. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Shall be saved. He that believeth. And what do you believe? What do you believe? It's you to believe from an understanding of what he went to the cross for. What his blood was shed for. And what his body was bruised for. And if you don't understand that, you come here tonight, you are only coming here as a religious person, you will continue to come, no change. No change. One great thing that God did for me is, he delivered me from the spirit of religion. He delivered me from the spirit of religion. It's true. I thank God for that. Hey. You stand up in the morning on Sunday. Carry your Bible. Because everybody they go to church. Which one my mama they go? Na Anglican. Now we bring Anglican come my village. So anywhere I go, our church na Anglican. So on Sunday, you wake up. You just arrived Lagos yesterday. Hey brother, where Anglican church there for Lagos? Then he said, no, come to our church now. Our church is brother. Send me. He said, brother, me I don't go this new generation churches. So me I don't go this. Now my papa, my senior brother, three of them, they are priests. And he says something as if it is an achievement. Ah, I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. I thank. It's true now. It's not religion that you are forcing somebody to follow you to church. If he doesn't follow you to your church, you drive him from your house. It's the same spirit. Me and my wife, we must go to the same church. How can I be going to Bride and my wife is going to Chusi? We must all be going to the same church. Which county is this? You either follow me to my church or you go back to your mama. It's religion. It's religion. When we saw this message, when I gave my life to Christ and I saw this message, amen. And then we are having a problem in my house with my wife because of church. So one day I held my Bible. I called her brother. I called home my Bible. I said, may this Bible judge me. Oh. See, not before church, me and you meet, we marry. Church, not go scatter our marriage. You go where you believe. I will go where I believe. So, if you think I'm in error, they pray well for where you believe. So that your prayer, God will answer, drag me, come meet you. Me say, where are they go? I go, they pray well. So that God too will open your eyes to see what I have seen that is making me go the way I'm going. But let church not scatter our marriage. Because not before church, we just marry. Hallelujah. It's religion that is causing such a problem. It's religion. It's religion, no? It's religion. No revelation, nothing. Nothing, just a way of life. That become a symbol, a symbol. Some people are proud to mention the church they attend. Are you a Christian? I am redeemed. That's how you know them. Does is there Bride Assembly in heaven? Is there name of any church in heaven? It is religion that produces all this nonsense. So, irrespective of the same Bible we are holding, the name, the church you attend, divide fellowship. So, brotherhood. You are not my sister because you don't attend my church. Even though it's the same Jesus we are calling, it's the same Bible we are reading. You see what the devil has done with blind people leading the blind. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want somebody here to go to heaven. How many people want to go to heaven? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Stop all this religion. I say, I thank God that I am not a religious person. God delivered me from religion and brought me to revelation. Brought me to revelation. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. For the purpose of our redemption. In his office now as a high priest, he stands in a position, hallelujah, making intercessions for you and for me. Amen. Amen. When the wrath of God wants to come upon me, the blood of Jesus Christ will hang it. And you will remember, this is the reason I went to the cross on Calvary. His name is in the book of life. Oh, glory be to God. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And then he added, let them that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. The truth is this. A revelation, a proper revelation of salvation automatically keeps iniquity away. How can you appreciate the love of God so much? And at the same time, live a life, you know, putting that same name of that God to shame. To shame.
church members
and we who are also ministers.
Just imagine. How can you have that type of revelation of who he is and have what you call secret sin? Is anything secret before God? Secret. Secret sin. Secret sin. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. People come to church. Hallelujah. And they don't even know the God they are serving. Apostle Paul said, for it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats, hallelujah, that it will affect the conscience of a sinner. That is why in the Old Testament, every year, they will come and make confession. Come before the high priest. Come with the goat. They will slaughter the goat. But the sinner lives. His conscience is not affected. Amen. God saw this and prophesied through Isaiah. And Apostle Paul quoted it in that same Hebrew. Hebrew chapter 8. Hebrew chapter 8. Hallelujah. For if that first covenant, the first covenant was sealed with the blood of an animal, but the new covenant is sealed with the blood of the Holy One of Israel. For if that first covenant, verse 7, Hebrews chapter 8, had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, and he is quoting Jeremiah 31, and from verse 31. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind. Hey. And write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God. And they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And when he will be doing this, how will he do it? Go to Jeremiah 36. Sorry, Ezekiel 36. This is how he will do it. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 36. This is how he will do it. To write the laws in their hearts. If you are there, verse 24. For I will take you. That, you see, you have to understand this so that you will understand the new birth. So many people will say, I am born again. I am born again. Because John chapter 3. Verse 3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. So everybody, I'm born again, I'm born again. Listen, church, this is very important. They have presented salvation so simple because they don't even understand what Jesus Christ did on the cross on Calvary. They don't even understand what salvation means and what is the process of salvation. You are not saved because you make a statement in your mouth after a pastor. Say after me. That is the one you are boasting of. Listen to me now. Listen, church. Your pastor say, after preaching powerful message, you want to give your life to Christ? Come outside. Oh, you say, you run, come, altar. I saw one of the churches. He said, come now. One. Three, then they were running. Four, then they reach, then they laugh. I reach before I can finish. I reach before I can finish. Before I can finish. Say after me, after they came. Father, I give my life to Christ. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. From today, I won't commit sin again. I won't steal again. All the bad things today, let the blood wash me, cleanse me today. From today, I confess with my mouth. I believe with my heart. I am born again. Did you say it? Did you say it? Oh, congratulations all of you. Now you are born again. Oh, Father, write your name in the book of life. Oh, Father, write your name in the book of life. Congratulations, congratulations. Congratulations, you are born again. Then from that day, you go back home. What happened? Ah, uncle, I'm born again. Oh. Today, I don't born again today. Amen. You are not born again. Nothing. 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 If that is the one you are talking about, don't go back again. I'm born again. No. It's very pathetic. And some of them are big respected ministers in this country. God will help us. I say God will help us. Hallelujah. I say God will help us. That's why forever and ever I will continue to thank God for the ministry of William Branham. Oh, I would have been in that same kind of thing if not for the prophet. If not for a man that yielded himself for God to use and never to be distracted for any reason. Who had a revelation and stood by it. Decided to stay with the world. Hallelujah. Refused to go the way of others. I've said it to ministers. When a minister that came to me from Ibadan and came and said, I want you to be my mentor. As far as I'm concerned, you are my father in the Lord. I follow your teaching. I said, that's the problem you have. God told you to go to Ibadan and start a church. You are looking for a man that you will be under. You see? You are looking for a man that will be under. The average Pentecostal man wants to be like Oyedepo. They want to be like Adeboye. I've not seen anybody that wants to be like Omoye yet. Because the area they are looking at, nobody the area where Omoye is. Everyone have want to be like Ayo Richezafo, Papa Ayo. They want to be like this. They want to be like this. They want to be like this. Why? That's the problem we have. That's why I said, thank God for a man. William Branham was a pastor in a Baptist church. And they said to him, a woman, to be ordained in that province as a woman pastor. He said, no, no, the Bible is against it. They told him, he said, no, it is the church order. It's that is the belief of Baptists. And he said, no, I can't obey you and disobey God, the word. He said, you either baptize her or you resign. He said, I would rather resign than to obey God. And he resigned and gave them back their certificate. Ah! I thank God for that man. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have called the revelation by the last prophet's message. We know who we are, and what we are resolved for. Praise the Lord for the original. Oh, the original. The original sin. The original one. It's what I believe.
The Son of Man.
The Son of Man.
Thank you.
Sing it one more time. Let me hear the brothers. Hallelujah. Let me hear the brothers. Sing it loud.
Thank you.
Is to let you know who Jesus Christ is. He's not an ordinary man. That man was Emmanuel. God in our midst. Hallelujah. God in our midst, and he's still in our midst now. This time in the spirit. So that anytime you call that name Jesus, Jesus means Yeshua. God saves. The Greek form is Jesus. And every language has her own. What do Igbo they call him? Igbo no get. Now English they repeat. Now Jesus. Now Jesus and they call him. Hallelujah. Now I understand Igbo and English, you know. You borrow a lot of words from English. Hardly would Igbo man speak Igbo without mixing English inside. Hausa people call him Yesu. Hallelujah. Yoruba call him Jesu. And so, but all you are saying is God saves because he is saving now. He always takes the name of what he is doing now. For now, he is saving. Because this is the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Anytime you say Jesus, understand that you are calling the name that is above every other name. It is the name of your maker. And knowing that name, you will not play with that name or call that name in vain. Like many Christians do. You waka, you hit your leg. I say, Jesus. Jesus. You use it for exclamation. Especially women. Hallelujah. They say your boyfriend don't buy you handset. It's a lie. Jesus. Because you don't have revelation. So that name is for exclamation. Hallelujah. The name of the creator of the heavens and the earth. The name. The Bible says that the 24 elders. Hallelujah. Together with the four beasts. In his presence. Saying what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy. 24 hours of the day. Just holy, 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 holy. Isaiah, God opened his eyes to see the throne. He saw the cherubims with six wings. One covered the feet, one covered, one like that. The posture of reverence. But when that same God came among the Gentiles, they said, it doesn't matter. They can come anyhow, it doesn't matter. You see, yesterday I was talking with a bank manager in her office. And she wanted to know more about the church. She said, one day I will come to this your church. I said, yes, but when coming, you will not come with these earrings. And those things you are putting on, you will not come with it. He said, Well, that's what you people believe. I'll remove it. And then she said she's pastoring a Redeemed church. And she said that one day, he said, no, it's okay, we got to talking and it reached that point. That one day, one young girl came and dressed, you know, with a skirt, you know, this mini skirt. And one of the workers was telling her to go back. And she said, no, stop that. Let her come in. He said, when she comes in, she will hear the word, then she will change. He said, she was observing her after some time, said the skirt grew longer. And I told her, I said, I thank God for you. I said, there are many approaches of catching them. I said, you have a higher grace than me. Hallelujah. Because I told her, I said, don't you think that same girl that wore that mini skirt to come to church, if she had an appointment with the governor, is that what she will wear and go? If she was to go to a shrine, will she wear that thing and go to a shrine? No. She knows. It is only church. You are going before the great God of Abraham, the God of Israel. Then you will just dress anyhow. Show your laps. Show your brazier. Whatever it is you like to show. Dress and remove your breast halfway out. And all the nonsense they put on. And where are you going? I'm going to church. And they speak in tongues. To create impression that they are spiritual people. And not knowing that they are possessed. And they don't even know it. Lie, don't come here like that. Oh. If you are watching us on air now, don't come to this church like that. Oh. We will not allow you inside. Allow you inside. Praise the Lord. Does not even nature teach you? That's what Apostle Paul said. Even common sense. It just shows that somebody is morally bankrupt. If not, you are going to church. You are going to meet with God. And you dress anyhow. Anyhow. And the preacher is saying, let them come like that so that after some time they will change. Now, it is not that type of change. The change we are talking about is from the heart. Because we do know that there are people that dress from head to toe, they cover, but still inside their heart they are devils. Praise the Lord. But at least show small respect now that you fear the God. Let me conclude what I was saying. A new covenant. And this is how you will do it. Because he said you will write it in their hearts. He said, and you will not be telling your neighbor anymore, don't fornicate. Don't steal. Obey the law. You won't be saying that anymore. Why? He said he will write the law in their heart now. How will he do it? Ezekiel 36. This is the process. Before you say you are born again. Born again. I'm born again. I'm born again. See how to be born again here. Verse 24. Ezekiel 36. For I will take you from among the heathen, out of the world, out of unbelief, and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water. And Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 tells us we are washed by the water of the word. So if the word is water that cleanses us, and he says we clean water, it means there is unclean water. There's unclean water. If they use unclean water, bath a dirty person, will he be clean? You will only add more dirt on that dirty. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And that cleansing comes by the washing of the water of clean word of God, unadulterated word. Because the word of God is sharper than two-edged sword. No matter how hard that your heart is, no matter what, you will hear the unadulterated word. If it is from God, it will do something to your soul. It will. It will. Okay? Verse 26. See how he does it. After he has cleaned you, you have had the clean word. That is why you came to give your life to Christ. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. This spirit is not the spirit of God, though. This spirit is cleaning up your spirit. The thing that makes you to love worldly music, for instance. The thing that makes you to like pornography is your spirit, man. It is dirty. It is, you know, it's something else. Amen. The thing that those things that you feed on, somebody will look at, watch a home movie 2 hours, 3 hours into midnight hours. What is he looking? He's watching a drama, a film. A Christian that is not going to add anything to you physically or spiritually. Nothing. But why? Your spirit loves that kind of thing. You see? I was in the car with a gentleman who also says he's a Christian. You know, everybody now is a Christian. He mentioned the name of his church proudly to me. And suddenly the music on the radio in the cars we are driving started this, you know this modern day music. You know. At least at our own time, the music that we're playing, they were philosophical songs. Eh? They were philosophical songs. Eh? Even Bob Marley with his ganja for hand, he was singing meaningful songs. Eh? Praise the Lord. Peter Tosh with his ganja. He was still singing songs that, you know, you would meditate over. But these days, I even try to hear what they are saying. All I will hear, yo, hey. Mama. What are they saying? Nothing. You play music. Put on radio. Yahoo. Throughout. What are they saying? Yahoo. And they were singing some of those something. You know. Alabadakata. And he was crossing it with them. And I turned and looked, and this is a Christian. And he was caressing the music and shaking his head, and he was in the spirit. Now that spirit has to be changed. That spirit has to be changed. Because some of us, we are club people too. But somehow now, those same music that we used to say, now we listen to them, it irritates us. Why? He changed our spirit. Hallelujah. And position our spirit to love the things of God. Amen. But that is not yet the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I'll read it verse 26 again. A new heart also will I give you. What's the evidence that it's a new heart is giving you? All of a sudden you can hear the word of God and you break down and begin to cry. But before it was a stony heart. No matter how they talk. This man, make it talk quick, when they go home. No matter how, this one hasn't done too much. Why? The heart is a heart of stone. When you pour water inside, not they enter. He's interested in that. A new heart. Hallelujah. Will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit, it is then he, God now, we put the Holy Ghost, my spirit within you. When he has put his spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my commandments and do them. You see? It is only when the Spirit of God dwells inside of you that He can cause you now to keep His commandment. And that process is the new birth. That is the process of being born again. Where the Spirit of God will come inside of you and change your nature. And cause you. God hates this. You too, you will keep away from it because God hates it. Because there's something inside of you now to keep the commandment. That's why in Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, He said, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Hallelujah. The life that I live is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Amen. Until Christ comes and lives in you, by this new birth process, you are not born again. Anything, you continue to live a life of struggle, struggle, struggle. And I'm saying this for somebody to wake up and change your prayer points and position yourself for God to take over. He stands at the door of your heart. He's knocking. Just open it. That's all. It's a thing of the heart. The relationship with God is not with leg. It's with the heart. That is where He's interested in. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All the evil that you do is from what you cook in your mind. Everything comes from the mind. Fornication comes from the mind. Adultery comes from the mind. And when somebody came to me and says he masturbates, they come to me, young men and women, they come to me and they want prayer. I tell them, it's not prayer you need. There's a battle. It's in your heart. It's a battle in your heart. It first comes like a thought. And when you accept it as a thought, it builds a picture. And before you know why, your senses receive them. And then you want to do those things. I have never prayed for anybody to stop masturbation. I have never, prayed for anybody to stop fornication. These are things, pray for somebody to stop drinking alcohol, beer. No. The problem is in your heart. It's not prayer. It's a decision. It's a battle. You yourself, you don't like it. You don't like it. After you do it, you regret it. You begin to cry. Why do I do this? Why do I do this? The battle is in the heart. And I say, Apostle Paul said, physical exercise profited little. But godliness, he was speaking about godliness. Godliness there, you can also, like physical exercise, you can practice godliness. You can practice it. When that thought comes to you, immediately before it takes root, you rebuke it. Hey! Get back to where it comes from. And before you know what, change your thought. Change your thought to some godly something. Change it. Begin to sing some Christian songs. Carry your hymn book and begin to sing. Carry your Bible and begin to read. Before you know what, that thought goes back. He's waiting again for your unguarded moment. He's coming again. Should be sensitive enough. As you are rebuking it, after some time, you get used to it. When it's coming, before it's, hey, which can't it? I'm born again. This unclean spirit, don't come near me. Before you know what, for months, you don't even remember it anymore. The woman is coming. And immediately the woman, you see her coming, and then the spell catches you. You're saying, "Kai, lie, I won't fornicate." And you change your thought. Hey, Cecilia, may they go. Hey, Cecilia, make we sing. He is Lord, Holy Ghost, fire, pursue them. Holy Ghost, fire, pursue them. Start prayer meeting with her. I'm telling you, do something that will put that thing away from you. Before you know what, including beer. Anytime beer didn't catch you, you pass by or you see advert for television, your mouth water. Hey, they know how to appeal to you. There is a way they will put the picture of television like this. Hey, appetite. Hallelujah. When it comes like that, shout, devil, you're a liar. I don't drink again. Carry water, drink. Carry water, drink. Bless this water in the name of Jesus.
I drink you water. Before you know what, the beer, you forget about the beer. That's the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because don't think that because you are born again, there will be no temptation. That is the time temptations will come. More than ever before. But that is the time to be ready for the battle. That's why William Branham preached the message titled "The Greatest Battle Ever Fought." And he let us know that battle was fought in the mind. It's in the heart. I want to do good. Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, evil is present. So evil versus good. Battle, 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 battle. But the same Apostle Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. Soak yourself in prayer. Get days that you fast. Have your covenant days of fasting. Covenant day of withdrawing and be with the Lord. Be closer to God. And Satan will be farther away from you. That is the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we ready to use the name of Jesus today? See, if you don't have respect for God, God will not be valuable to you too. So hold that name. Anytime you shout Jesus, just know that you are calling the whole heavens to attention. That is the name of our God. That's why we baptize in His name. That's why He said, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That name is one name, Jesus. That name, Jesus, is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The day I caught that revelation, that name became so precious to me. It became a weapon that I guarded jealously. Anytime I call Jesus, inside of me, there is a reaction inside of me. I'm telling you, I never call that name anyhow. I call that name only when I should call it. You will never hear me play with that name. Sometimes you will hear me, I could play Holy Ghost fire, but you will never hear me play with that name, Jesus. Never. That name is the name of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He came in His Son, that Jesus, in the order of Melchizedek. It was God among us. May that name do something for somebody here tonight, in the name of Jesus. I say, may that name do something for somebody here tonight, in the name of Jesus. He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. Stand up. Let's sing one song and go into prayer.